Instead of that, let's go to Ephesians 5. Ephesians chapter 5. So the book of Ephesians, there in the New Testament, chapter number 5. This might tie in somewhat with this morning. I want to talk about walking as a believer. What does it mean to walk as a believer? So let me get there. Ephesians 5. All right, I'm going to read the first, well, it's verse 1 through 17. So let me read those as we start. Okay. Be therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. So you see the word walk there in verse number 2. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this we you know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. And here's the second. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light, wherefore he saith, Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. And then the third, see that then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for tonight. Thank you for your word. We just pray as we look into it that you would guide and direct in our minds and hearts. May our hearts, as was even prayed earlier, might be open to what you have for each one of us. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Walking as a believer. I start out many times, usually in the Alpha Women's meetings that we have, and we do have one coming up this next Sunday in Heartland. It's in the afternoon, 2:30 in the afternoon. They have some special service in the afternoon, and so be praying if you would for us as we go there. But many times I'll start out by saying, using the verse that says that we're living in perilous times. And of course, then I go through a list of things that are happening in our culture and our society, and some of these things are very disheartening, very discouraging. I mentioned as I was watching, and my wife discourages me, but as I was watching some of the impeachment, and I was really getting discouraged. I thought, how can people even think like this? I remember the head person from the House make a statement that if we let our president continue, he will go and live in Mar-a-Lago and have his son run the country. And I thought, who are these people? I mean, and then he also said that he thought the president probably would go to Russia, sell America's secrets. And it's disheartening sometimes. It's discouraging. But we're living in perilous times. It doesn't mean that we ought to just be discouraged and not have the joy of the Lord, but I think it means that we need to be busy about God's work, and we need to make sure that in our lives we're walking as a believer, and as we're going to look at tonight, that are shining brightly in a world that is dark. And so that's kind of what we're going to be looking at. I believe it's more important now than ever before that we're walking as biblical Christians, as the days are coming where one day God will rapture us out. But up to that time, he says that we need to be busy for him. Walking. As I thought about walking, I thought about what my doctor told me. He said, I need to be walking. That was a few years ago. At first, when I had my hip replaced, I did walk. I walked around the block until I got tired of walking around the block. And I, since I work, I think, well, I'm working all the time. But he said, no, walking is best. My hip doctor says riding a bicycle is best. So I bought a bicycle, a used bicycle from Wheel and Sprocket. It was one that they used at the lakefront when they have the whatever that's called down there. And they give them bikes to use, they get them back and they sell them. So I went and bought a nice bike, told Brian about it, and Brian said, well, you need to start out slow, only ride like 10, 20 miles a day. So I thought, well, first I'm going to ride around the block. And do you know, I didn't even make it around my block. I had to stop. And my bike is hanging up in the garage, which I think I'm going to get it down. My wife, because of her knees, says she can't ride her, so she gave it to our granddaughter. So I have the only bike left. So if I need it, I probably should take it down. But walking. There's a man, an older gentleman, that walks around the block even in bad weather when it's cold and everything. And he just, I always see him, and he's walking around the block. Of course, people walk their dogs, but this guy, he's always walking, always walking. If I ever go to the mall ever again, I don't go to the mall. I don't know why a person would want to go to the mall. I don't know. What do you do at the mall? I don't know. Go to the food court? But anyway, when I went to the mall for the grandkids to play on the play equipment, there's all sorts of groups of people walking in the mall and just walking from one end to the other, one end to the other. And they're walking. And no doubt their doctors probably told them to walk. And so, but walking. Walking for physical needs is very similar to walking for spiritual needs. Walking as a believer. Several things. Number one, walking by nature, and I think if you do walk, it implies effort. You have to actually get out and walk around the block, or walk around the mall, or walk, 10 miles, or whatever you're going to do, but it takes effort. It burns calories, but it takes effort to walk. And spiritual walking also takes effort. And we need some food in order to feed us as we are putting out that effort. And of course, the spiritual food supply that we have is the Word of God. This is going to enable us to do the walking that God wants us to do as a believer. We are never going to be able to walk spiritually without being connected to God's Word. You could say it's an impossibility. It's like saying, I'm going to walk. And you know, I wrote this down because I also bought a treadmill. I bought a treadmill, I got a stepper, and they're doing real good in the basement. They're doing real good down there. But it's interesting, I went on the treadmill and I'd walk on the treadmill, and you don't go anywhere. I mean, you just walk on the treadmill doesn't go anywhere. And I can understand why these new machines like the Peloton, which costs, I think, $4,000. But I can understand why there's a screen with someone looking at you going, keep going, keep going. You know, I can understand that. Because it takes a lot of effort. It takes a lot of effort to do spiritual things. We need to be connected to God's Word, and that's what feeds us as we're putting forth this effort. You know, it seems like it should be kind of a given that, you know, if we want to live a biblical life, if we want to walk as a believer, well, we need to be in God's Word. We need to be feeding ourselves with God's Word. And yet then I think, why don't we do it then? Why do people not do it? Why would you go into the average churches? In fact, I give the illustration that Ron Comfort preached in a church. He was traveling and he came into a church and it was Wednesday night. And the pastor greeted him, et cetera, and he asked, he was just going to be in the service, and he asked him to preach. So he said, okay, I'll preach. And so he had some time. And so he was saying, Lord, what would you want me to preach in this church? And the Lord kept talking to him about the importance of reading the Word of God. He said, well, this is a Wednesday night service. I mean, and he kind of struggled. But so he went and preached that night. And at the end, he said, how many of you do not spend at least every day reading in your Bible? And he said he had deacons raise their hands that they didn't read every day in the Bible. And he was kind of taken back because he just thought, well, this is the Wednesday night crowd. These would be the people that really should take that as that's a given in my life. And yet he was kind of taken aback at that. And so why then aren't we? Well, because it takes effort. I mean, we've got to maybe not do something else. We need to put aside some time to actually do it. I always like when I come out in the morning, my wife yells at me because I come out and I want to talk in the morning. And most of the time I, you know, just talk, kind of senseless talk. But she says, can't you see what I'm doing? I'm reading my Bible. And I go, I forgot. God, you know, every day she does the same thing, and I forgot. But that's what she still does. And I appreciate that. And I think that's important. My doctor prescribed Sotalol to me because I have heart apnea. I think that's right, heart apnea. And if I take my Sotalol, it keeps my heart in rhythm. If I quit taking it, guess what happens? It goes out of rhythm. So you know what I do every day? I take my Sotalol. I mean, I just do it. I mean, I know I need to do it, and so I do it. And you know, as a believer, I think we need to say, you know what? If we're going to get anywhere in our Christian life, we're going to put some effort into it. Number two, walking implies progress. That's why I don't like a treadmill. I mean, at least when I walked around the block, I would see the house pretty soon. You know, I'd get around and I'd go there. Where I go, it's flat and then it's uphill and then it's downhill. And I like the downhill. And then I turn the corner and there's my house. And I go, help me get to the house, you know. And so I walk that. But walking implies progress, a definite direction in our life. It implies that we're going somewhere. We are advancing in what we're doing. And I remember when I was in high school in football, I was in football 2 years, and I remember a friend of mine, what we did was we said, okay, all summer we're going to run a mile every day. Now, you couldn't run a mile on the football track where I went to high school. It's all fenced in with locks. You couldn't get to that track. If you're light, well, you'd probably get arrested if you climbed over the fence. But it was always open, and we'd go down there, and every day we'd run a mile. And we even bought, and now this dates me, some of you probably remember this, we bought those plastic suits you could wear to make you sweat that I think they were causing people to have heart attacks. But we bought those. I mean, we did everything. But every day. And do you know, in the beginning of the summer, it was hard. But you got toward the end of the summer, and you know, it became easier because that walking, doing that every day, made a difference. I mean, there was progress. Bill Hall, an evangelist, said this. He said, "We don't look at our sin or our life for Christ like God looks at it." Spurgeon said this. He used the illustration of weights and balances, that many times we use the wrong weights and balances on the scale, and it makes us look like we're doing better than we're actually doing. Our progress is better than really what it is. There's that Norman Rockwell picture where it's the butcher, and he has the scale, and he puts the chicken on, and behind he's got his finger pushing down on the scale, where the scale is not really reading what it ought to read. And sometimes we do that. During the Obama years, when they made the deal with Iran, they said this. They were going to let the Iranians report on themselves if they violated the terms. You know, you have to shake your head, don't you? I mean, so here's a socialist, communist-type country who is trying to be monitored because they're trying to create a nuclear weapon, and they're going to report on themselves if they actually do it. Yeah, that was very interesting. But I think that's kind of like us. We think we're doing better than we're doing, or we're going to report, you know, I'm going to tell people in my church to pray for me because I have not been reading my Bible at all. You know, I just think we're not going to do that. But the thing is, if we are going to be honest and we're going to be serious, we're going to have to realize that walking implies progress. And if we are going to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord, we're going to have to be honest with God, and we're going to have to put some effort into what we're doing. Take your Bible to 2 Peter chapter number 3. And so go a little bit further in your Bible, 2 Peter chapter 3, and look at verse 18, and I'll read it. 2 Peter 3:18 says, "But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus, of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to him be glory both now and forever. Amen." But grow, the word grow there means to enlarge or increase. So we're to increase in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That means progress. That means that we're growing, we're enlarging. We know more about him than we knew before. I mean, this year we ought to seek to learn more about him. And you might say, well, wait a minute, isn't there a time that you know everything about the Lord? You know, I said, I was talking to this family. We had that was another prayer request. We had this family in the back with the little children. They're from Kadehe. They've lived here 2 years, and so I talked with them a little bit. My wife talked with them. Other people came and talked to them. And I don't know what their story is, whether they go to another church, but praise the Lord for that. But I said to them, they had a four-year-old. They had several children. And I said about the four-year-old, I said, you know, we have a four-year-old grandson. I think he knows just everything he'll ever need to know. And he tells you that almost. And they said, well, their four-year-old does about the same thing. He's not in here, is he? Or is he sleeping? Aaron? He's hiding. But, you know, we're never going to come to the place where we know everything. You ever notice that when you read the Bible, all of a sudden you find something new? And you go, I've read that so many times. Is this a different version? I mean, is there different words in here? No, it's the same words, but God just shows us something new, and that means we're growing. And so walking as a believer means there's progress. Number three, walking implies a goal. You know, we have a lot of goals. We were on a visitation this past summer, went to a house, and I talked to a man that I said to him, he was cutting the grass. And he said, well, I'm cutting my mother's grass. And so I said to him, I said, you know, gave him the material, and I talked to him about, you know, being sure that he's going to heaven. And I said, you know, sometimes we plan for a lot of things. We plan for vacations. We plan for our retirement. And I said, we take all that time, but we don't take any time when we're considering eternity. And he said to me, just turned to me and said to me, well, cutting the lawn is what I'm planning for eternity. It's my way of doing, you know, and being accepted by God by mowing my mother's lawn. Well, I said, well, you need to read that gospel tract. That gospel tract will tell you what the Bible says. But, you know, we have a lot of things that are goals. Bucket lists. People have bucket lists. Sports. Exercise, I guess, for some people. You know, people have goals that they have, but as we think of walking as a believer, what should our goal be? 1 John chapter 3. So if you're there, turn now to 1 John chapter 3. What should our goal be? I mean, there ought to be a goal if we're a believer, if we trusted Christ as our Savior. 1 John 3 and verse number 2. It says this, let's look at verse 1. It says, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us, not because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. We shall be like him when he appears. And I think what God has for us now is that we are working on becoming like him. So that when we stand before him and he takes us home in the rapture, or takes us home, death, that we're preparing for the day that we're going to be like him. I don't think it's where we should consider, well, I'm going to just do whatever I want. I'm going to just do my own thing because one day I'll just be like him. You know, if you read about the giving of rewards and lack of rewards, the burning of the wood hay, it's going to be a time where we're going to find out whether or not we're going to have any crowns to put at his feet. He wants us to be preparing that there will be a day that will be like him. Philippians chapter 3. We're Ephesians, Philippians 3, and look at verse 10 there. Philippians 3:10 says this, and 10 through 14 says that I may, and this is a section of scripture that I'm sure all of you know, says that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect. And if you study this through, what the Apostle Paul was saying is that even though he had credentials, I mean, he had been a Pharisee, he was well-versed in the Scriptures, he was a missionary, he was serving God faithfully. No doubt, whatever Scripture was available at that time, I mean, he knew the Scripture. I mean, this is a man that really was in a close relationship to the Lord. He says, not as though I had already, verse 12, attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend, that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. This is powerful in what he says, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. That was the Apostle Paul's goal. And that word press is, that's a powerful word.
It's talking about he made a tremendous effort, I believe, to be Christ-like. And that was his goal, and that's what he strived for, and that's what he did. And it's all tied into God's Word. God's Word is what we use to give us the wisdom and, God's guidance for us to get to that place, to have that as our goal. My cousin, Mike, who sits with us, he had me help him with his kitchen. He's a real old farmhouse. Put in some new cabinets, and he wanted to get a new countertop, so he bought a quartz countertop. And he wanted it extra wide because he wanted a lot of space, and it was long, the whole length almost of his kitchen. And he had it delivered, and a guy that delivered it, he said, don't you have anyone here to help us get it in the house? And he said, no. He said, well, the two of us are never going to be able to carry this, so he put it in the garage. Well, I got some men from Greendale Baptist when we were there. 10 men carried that countertop in. Now, the interesting thing was he didn't know exactly how it would go on the counter, and so he didn't have them cut a hole in it. And he goes, we got to cut the hole. And I thought, I have no idea how to cut a hole in quartz. So I watched all these videos, and it looked all right, you know. And these people were outside, they had a hose and all this stuff, and I thought, well, I'm not outside. So he and I did it, and I'll tell you, I will never do it again. Never. I don't even care if it was for my best friend or even my wife. I would never do it again. But one thing I found, the more I cut that quartz, I used a grinder and I burned the grinder out doing it, one elbow by another one. The more I did it, the more I understood what that video was saying. And he had the vacuum there to catch all this dust. We had plastic over our heads so it didn't go all over the house. But the more I did it, the more I understood what they were telling me in the videos. And you know, I thought about that as we consider our walk for the Lord Jesus Christ. The more we, by faith, walk as a believer, the more we're going to understand what God is saying to us in His Word. If we do nothing, you know, I think we're going to find out that, boy, I just don't understand. We don't read the Bible. We don't do anything. We don't serve the Lord in any way. And you know, it's going to come to the place where we go, this just doesn't make much sense to me. Well, it's because we've never connected ourselves with what will give us sense as walking as a believer. So I found out that the more I'm in God's Word and the more I allow that to dwell in my life and in my mind and in my heart, the more I understand what God wants me to do. And I believe some people call it we start understanding the will of God for our life, what God wants us to do. And I have always wondered, you know, why God would have me do some things, because in school, now I went to Bible college, but before that, my class that I made my best grades was ceramics. You know, when you're in college, you can choose if you want to go to class. And my math teacher called me in one time and he said, you know, you do better if you actually came to class. And I said, I know, you know, I'll try to come. But as a believer, I think we're going to do better when we go to class. You know, we're going to do better when we study and ask God to show us what He wants in our life. We are going to be walking as a believer, and we're going to be better at serving Him. So the challenge, and we're going to end tonight there, but the challenge is, as we walk as a believer, we've got to realize that walking as a believer takes effort. So we have to work at it. Walking has to have progress. I mean, we have to be in God's Word. We have to read and be a student of God's Word. And walking implies that we need to have a goal. We need to realize we want to be like Jesus Christ. And if that's our goal, then we're going to start working toward that goal. And we're going to be like the Apostle Paul, who said, I press toward the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I press toward that mark. And I trust that that might be what would be our desire tonight. Let's pray. Father, we